There are a couple of folks who are outstanding, but hopefully they'll be able to join. If it's okay with the group, I'm going to record for minute taking. Is there any issues? Okay, in theory, I can push a button. It looks like it's recording. Excellent. Because this is the first time we're meeting, I'd like to go through and do introductions. For those of you on the meeting, the agenda should be attached to the appointment. So if anybody is having difficulty seeing that, please let me know. We'll go through and I'll start and then I'll just kind of hand it off and everybody can hand it off to somebody else until we get through everybody. So I'm Vice Chancellor Rebecca Holder, Institutional Advancement and Economic Development. And Tracy, you are next on my screen.
Hi, I'm Tracy Fisher, Director at the Center for Social Justice and Civil Liberties. Chris.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chris Clark. I'm the Executive Director of External Relations and Strategic Communications for the district.
Jeff, why don't you go? Then Misty.
Hi, Jeff Kotz, Executive Director for the Foundation for the District.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Misty Griffin. I'm the Director of Business Services here at the district. And I go for Dr. Mustaine.
Deborah
Thank you.
Mustaine, Dean of Community Partnerships and Workforce Development at the District.
And Megan?
Hi, everyone. I'm Megan Chandler, Associate Professor of Art History at Norco, and sneaking in a late lunch and sparing you that, so my camera's off.
Not a problem. Thank you. Karina, then Marie.
Hi, everyone. I'm Karina Gelati. I'm the Director of Grants here at Norco College. Nice to meet you all.
And go ahead, Maria. I'm sorry.
Marie Thermidor. I'm with RCCD Foundation Development Officer. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Rachel, Lori, then Jeff.
Rachel Weiss, Dean of the Grants Office at RCC.
Hi there, Lori McRae, Grants Office, Riverside District.
Jeff.
So I'm going to introduce myself again.
Oh, sorry. Who am I missing? Jason. I'm like, I know I'm missing somebody. And then Alice.
Another Jay. So hi, everyone. Jason Kennedy, Director of Workforce Economic Development Projects at RCCD.
Hi, Liz. I'm struggling with my camera. I'm the Grants Director at Moreno Valley College.
And Chris, and then Renee. Did I do everybody?
You already introduced.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, good. This is why you should really go in order.
Oh, Paula's joining. You could shout out.
Now
Paula.
It's Paula's turn.
What do I do?
Name and title.
Oh, hi. Hi, everyone. I'm Paula Barra Partida from Norco College, and I am the job developer here.
Thank you. On the agenda, which is again in the appointment, because this is the first time this group is meeting, I wanted to go through and review the charge and make sure that we're all in agreement. This is a new committee that has come out of DSPC. And so this charge was kind of drafted by others. So if we want to make a change to it, I guess we can suggest that. But I want to make sure that everybody that's in this group has had a chance to look at it and understands what our charge and focus is. So I'll give you all a minute to read that and let me know if you've got any questions. Questions, comments, concerns?
You know, as I read this, I didn't see anything about the civic engagement specifically. It seems like we touched on all the others, but maybe we need to have either add that to the list that's there in the middle, or we're at a separate sentence that talks about social justice equity.
Tracy, since we're co-chairing that committee, what do you think? Squeeze it in or in the list with another comma, or add a sentence. This is the committee to do this with all the word people. This is so good.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably another sentence. The sentences are kind of long as it is, which, you know, it's fine, but maybe just a sentence in there.
If anybody has specific language, otherwise I'll work with Chris, because you said it first, so congrats. I'll work with Chris. We'll get an update. And I guess we can take consensus within the group, because I wouldn't want to wait. We're not, in theory, I mean, I guess we could schedule another meeting just to approve the charge and then ask DSPC to make the change. But my gut would say for a draft to go out to the collective, and then when there's agreement, we could maybe take it to DSPC this some active semester. What does the group think? Could we vote on this electronically? Okay. So we'll wordsmith this a little bit. I'll work with Chris. We'll get it out in the next, you know, before the end of the month. That way you guys have enough time to think about it, and then we can move forward. Okay, cool. The next section is the advancement and partnership general updates. Each time I'm going to have, because this is a larger umbrella committee that has subcommittees underneath it. So the subcommittees that feed into this are the Alternative Resources Committee. So that's really the grant and foundation side of the house. Institutional partnerships, which is kind of the business, workforce, economic development partnership side. District Marketing and Communications, I think, is pretty explanatory of what it is. Civic Engagement, Tracy and I co-chair. That also has some social justice elements to it. And then Facilities Naming is a board-directed policy for the naming of facilities within the larger institution. All of our committees have a web presence, so you can go check there. All the DSPs committees are listed. Those that we get information from also have their minutes and things listed there. So all of these committees would have things posted there. This is when these groups have recently met. I don't know that there's anything from those committees to advance to this group at this time if we're advancing to DSPC. Chris, I think you have the most, most of these committees are new. DMCC and Facilities Naming have been functioning. So Chris and Jeff, if you could give just a brief update on the last two meetings. And Tracy, I don't know if you'd like to do the same. Alternative Resources is still kind of moving along, and so is Institutional Partnership. So if you two could just give kind of a high-level update. And Tracy, again, if you want to, after they've done. So Chris, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Thank you.
So at our last meetings, we talked about the social media guidelines, and maybe I'd start with just one thing that we've tried to do with our committee, rather than do everything as policies and procedures. We've set up guidelines for a lot of the things that we manage, because then it doesn't have to go through the entire process, and we can make changes as we go along. And because marketing and communications is rather fluid, that seemed to work the best for us. So we'll have, for example, we have a writing style guide that we've gone through and edited. We had all three of the colleges look at it, talk about it with their constituent groups, and then completed that and shared it with the Board of Trustees as an information item. We've done the same thing with a branding style guide for the district and all three colleges. Most recently, the things that we've been working on are social media guidelines, which at our last meeting was approved to go through to DSPC, and then the crisis communications guidelines. Both of those documents have been a long time in coming, and we got them all finished. We also worked on the listserv guidelines. We've got the district one pretty much where it needs to be, but we're still working on the college ones. So that's actively being pursued. The next ones we're working on, we're doing website guidelines, marketing guidelines, video. I think the next one we'll see actually is the video guidelines on how we want to, or how we recommend people do their video production and, you know, the different photo releases and different things, anything legal that way that we need to make sure that we have. That one's probably going to be the next one that's coming up.
Are there any questions or comments on DMCC in particular? There will be some items that we bring forward to this committee moving forward before it goes to DSPC. But there's a decent amount of flow that group has already done. So any questions, comments, concerns? By the way, if there are recommendations on things that we can or should be doing in some of these subcommittees, please let us know. Thanks, Chris. Jeff?
I will add one.
Sorry, go ahead.
One item. No, I was just going to mention that we did, or I did a presentation to the board at the last board meeting on our marketing update. And for those of you that may not have seen that, it was a decent presentation, but the feedback that we got back from the board was absolutely wonderful. They were very appreciative and complimentary. And I've gone back to my team and told them how impressed they were with the different projects that we've done. I think most notably is maybe the visual and performing arts brochure that has just been printed. If you haven't seen that yet, it's really a great brochure. We've done a digital campaign that went along with it. And our next one that we're doing is a CTE brochure along the same lines. We want to feature a different pathway every 3 to 4 months and show all the different programs at all three colleges that are available for that. So pretty exciting. But just wanted to kind of let you know about that.
Okay. Thank you. Jeff, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. The Facilities Naming Committee, in addition to reviewing philanthropic and honorific requests for namings of buildings and classrooms and so on, they also review similar requests for programs and events. This past year, we've only had one request for a naming come through the committee, and that was for a classroom in the culinary arts that honors Chef Bobby, who passed away a few years ago. The other thing we've been up to is there are a number of things that are being considered or have been named at various colleges, including trees and benches and so on, that may get down a little bit more into the weeds than this committee and the district need or the Board of Trustees needs to be involved with. So we'll be making a recommendation that those be done at the college level rather than at the district level. We've also spent some time trying to ensure that we have a good listing of all the spaces that have been named within the district and each of the colleges. And we're also including to make sure we have some history about whether it was an honorific naming or a philanthropic naming. Some other areas that we are working on are with the bond that was recently passed, there'll be a number of renovations of buildings, maybe buildings that will come down that have names on them. And there is a provision in the naming policy on how to handle those situations. And so we'll be reviewing those as they come through. So that's kind of a general overview of what we've been up to this year.
Thanks, Jeff. Are there any questions on facilities naming? Some of you may hear about it on your campuses about things that are moving, especially as buildings start changing. It specifically came from Norco. So if things come up and you aren't sure, please feel free to reach out. But the committee is moving forward, and I think there's some good movement in that direction. So any questions, comments for facilities naming? Okay. Tracy, did you want to chime in?
Yeah, I'll just say a couple of things. So civic engagement, this committee met for the first time. Was it just last week? It feels like it was just last week. but we met for the first time last week. And I think it was a good meeting to kind of really move the committee forward. So really, we began with the committee charge and approving that charge, but also then thinking about the ways in which the committee in and of itself, how we would like to actually, you know, kind of function as a body, as a group. And so the idea is to really be able to have really some threads or through lines across the colleges, including the district. What are the ways in which the colleges are engaged in civic engagement in the district? And can we have points of either, you know, connection and cross programming or even collaboration, but also just an awareness of what the colleges are doing, and kind of leading with the belief that there's really a lot of civic engagement going on across the colleges as it is, but do we know what each college is doing? Do we know what folks at the district are doing? So really kind of thinking about that. Two things that come to mind. One, we had guest speakers from College Core and Community Action Leadership Academy talk to us about really how the students are engaging in civic engagement. There was some conversation about really encouraging voter registration and how the colleges are already in many ways doing that, but you know, really just making that aware, making all of the, I guess, everyone aware of kind of when that's happening, who the key people are in terms of moving that forward. The other thing we talked about in that first meeting was land acknowledgments and really thinking about how and if each college or which colleges have them, how they're being used, how often they're being used. Same with the district. The district has one as well. But, you know, when is it being put into practice? And I think really thinking about the college in particular, we know that RCC has one, but I think there was some question around whether or not and when MVC and or Norco also have them and when they might be used. And so just thinking about a land acknowledgement also just not just in terms of name only, but in terms of the relationships that come out of that, right? And really thinking about how the acknowledgements are formed and the connections that may or may not be happening in the formation of those, in particular thinking about how the district has formed a land acknowledgement that's to knowledge not used too often, board meetings, yes, perhaps graduation, yes, and things like that. But, you know, what are the other times in which it might be used? But also making these land acknowledgements, putting them on a public site so that it's more public facing. And so when people come look rather at the district website or college's websites, they see a land acknowledgement and they see that the district as a whole has that commitment as well. So those are really kind of two things that came up in that last meeting.
Thank you, Tracy. Mm-hmm. Any questions, comments, thoughts for Tracy or the civic engagement group? Chris, did you raise your hand or was it? Okay, thank you. Those are the general updates. I don't know that we'll have something like that every time, but it's possible that we would have items to present to this group in that space in the future. At this point, I'm actually not sure if I'm turning it over to Deb or Jason for a conversation about the Apprenticeship Operations Task Force. This is something that is at Dr. Isak's directive. So Deb turned her microphone off, so I'm picking Deb.
And I'm just here to say thank you to Jason, and he will be presenting.
Okay, thanks, Jason. Thanks.
You're welcome. Hi, everyone. As I said, let me introduce myself. I'm Jason Kennedy, Director of Workforce Economic Development at the district office here. So I have a presentation. You should all have seen it in the calendar invite for our proposed Apprenticeship Operations Task Force, or AOT. All right, so let me give you a little bit of background on the AOT and what it entails. So currently, the district hosts two different types of apprenticeship programs. One you're probably more familiar with is the traditional apprenticeship program, typically associated with like the building trades or the construction trades programs. So we have two partnerships with our labor unions, and these are set up as LEA agreements, local education agreements, agency agreements. And so this is through the Western States Carpenters for the carpentry occupations, and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, or the IBEW, as well as the second category would be the new and innovative. So these are referred to as more the non-traditional apprenticeship programs. And these occur in a set up through an employer hub model around a particular industry. So for example, several of our colleges have different non-traditional apprenticeship programs. Some of our larger ones include the automotive industry. For example, at RCC, we have IT, information technology and cybersecurity at MVC and RCC. We have advanced manufacturing like CNC programming at our Norco College. ECE is a growing one, and also we are looking at some new programs that are in the works with some of our apprenticeship directors at our colleges in accounting and human services as well. So why set up or create a apprenticeship operations task force? Well, we want to set up a effective system for operations and our communication amongst our apprenticeship staff. Also to enhance efficiency and effectiveness of the apprenticeship programs, as well as our partnerships, for example, with our industry employers and our labor partners and our Launch Apprenticeship Network, who serves as sponsors for many of our non-traditional programs that we mentioned earlier, as well as to create a long-term sustainability plan, focusing in on workforce development, benefiting not only our apprentices, but also the employers that we collaborate with within our Inland Empire region. So this is how we envision the structure and members. It would encompass a wide variety of classified professionals, faculty, administrative, academic, and classified administrative and management. And so some of the members include proposed and approved apprenticeship programs. So this will be the faculty representative from each of the approved programs. It will also include the CTE deans or associate deans. Some colleges may have an associate dean of CTE. In line with our nursing program, we have a RCC School of Nursing dean, and through our Ben Clark Center at MVC, the School of Public Safety. Some of the other key components will be the three apprenticeship directors currently filled through MVC and RCC and in recruitment at Norco College. Myself and our dean and vice chancellor for WED and Institutional Advancement Economic Development. We currently have two student success specialists, or now in the request, the administrative specialists, and two staff from the Launch Apprenticeship Network who forms that industry hub cluster. So this will be tied into the apprenticeship registrations are done through two ways when you register a program or apprenticeship. It's done through the Federal Department of Labor, or the DOL, and also the California Division of Apprenticeship Standards, or through the Department of Industrial Relations. You may have heard of the DAS or the DAS. So we envision a broad swath through the district and our three colleges and representation for the proposed structure and committee. As far as a meeting frequency for the actual task force, we envision quarterly or as needed basis to review and approve and look at new apprenticeship opportunities, look at partnerships, and then in collaboration with the faculty. And just want to clarify, this is not to approve curriculum. That's a faculty thing. So it's intended to, once again, tied into the operations, coordination, the communication as we establish the apprenticeships throughout the district. In addition, on a monthly or as needed basis, a smaller subset of the AOT comprised of myself, our student success specialist, and our apprenticeship directors will be meeting as well as we look at opportunities for engagement and expansion for apprenticeship programs. And so short and sweet. Let me know if you have any questions about the AOT proposal.
Thank you, Jason. Questions, comments, concerns from the group? This, in theory, is an item for discussion. It would come back. Dr. Isak does want this to become an operational committee. So, feedback, thoughts?
I do have a question. Yes. If we were interested in speaking specifically from Norco, where if I gather we don't have someone in the position quite yet, right, for that coordinator. So would sort of the process be, because the gears are turning for thinking about like a new kind of apprenticeship thing to develop and propose, would my next step be to wait for a person to fill that position before then reaching out to them and moving forward?
Currently, Ashley Etchison is filling in and proceeding. Okay. So I would communicate with the CTE dean. She would be part of it already. But for any proposed program, that's definitely something that in collaboration and in lieu of, the vacant position typically would be proposed through the apprenticeship director and the CTE dean. But yeah, for faculty representatives for new and proposed, programs in non-traditional apprenticeship. Yeah, that's definitely.
Especially, in the spirit, right, of partnerships and advancement, thinking about the local resources that we have that can, turn into apprenticeships, internships, right, things of that nature. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What else?
And just to do a little plug-in, a successful apprenticeship starts when you have a partnered employer that is ready. If at least I went to a conference this summer and it was really all about apprenticeship. And that's what I heard across all of these sessions. So just FYI.
Definitely agree. Very, very important, right, Paula?
You can't do it without the other half.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't definitely work.
The OJT or the on the job training is distinguish it from an internship. This is always paid. There's room for in step increases and advancement. And so, and ideally once the apprenticeship's over, they would engage in that job and continue on. And it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. It's like peanut butter without the peanuts.
Right.
You can't do it both ways.
Yeah.
Thanks, Paul. Any other questions, comments, concerns on the AOT, the way that it's structured, next steps? Because if the collective doesn't have any issues, on this one, I would recommend that we move forward this academic semester so that it can be populated and operationalized for 25-6. Sad that I had to look at a calendar to do that. Yeah. Any comments or concerns?
For the proposed structure, I know not all colleges have support staff, but I know Norco does. Are they going to be involved in this task force? Because I see this the administrative specialists are, but at least like Norco has the ed advisor who is the student facing one, at least from our campus. Are they going to be involved in this?
I think currently that would be filtered through the apprenticeship director and the CTE deans.
So I think, Paula, to your point, we can adjust it based on the humans at the campuses doing the work. Mm-hmm. But in theory, those would be the classified representatives on the committee.
Just those two from the district level?
No. There should be somebody from each of the colleges. If we're going to match outside of facilities naming, because it's a separate board policy driven item, all of the other DSPC committees have a very uniform structure in terms of participation and engagement. So,
yeah, because NARCO does have a classified.
I think all three do of somebody in that space. We'll figure it out and mm-hmm. affirm that, because that's going to be a point with CSEA. So mm-hmm. yeah. I think representation, to your point, from the classified to match what our DSPC structure. So we can make that adjustment to that it fits continuity and consistency across. So I'm zero concerns there.
Okay. Just thanks.
No, thank you. Any other questions, comments? Is the collective okay moving this forward with the addition of those to ensure that consistency is happening? We've got classified. Is this group okay with us advancing this to DSPC then? Okay. In theory, this collective would start meeting in the fall, and that'll be something for Jason and Deb's groups to follow up on. But again, this is one of those that part of this group could come back to and through us. But part of this group, as I think Jason intimated on, the AOT is going to have pieces that then push to the curriculum side. That's not going to come through this group. It may come as an informational item of these are the pieces that are moving through to the TNL side. Vice Chancellor Bishop is very aware that this group is coming together and that a piece of it will go through some of his committees. However that process goes through, it should be, I don't see it being different than what already is in process for curriculum development. It's just a different, it's a new path for a channel for program creation to be done collectively and shared. Okay, we'll keep going there because I see no no's and no general abstentions, but unless we want to take a formal vote, I'm just going to keep going and use record keeping as documentation. Does that work for the group? Cool. The good news is we are at the end of this meeting. So the question is, are there any other items from anybody for new business and or future topics? Either one of those can be shared later too. And again, the intent of this group is to meet once a primary semester, probably towards the end of when all of these other committees have met, because in theory, they should be generating work that then comes up to and through us to then advance. We can meet sooner if things come up, but at this point, we probably won't meet again until the mid to late fall. Any questions, comments, concerns from the group? Renee will follow up with dates. And if there's anything else, please let us know. I'm not going to tell anybody you have 25 minutes of your life back. So you choose how you manage those. I appreciate you all. Happy Tuesday. And we'll see you all soon. Bye. Thank you. Yeah.